May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Pointing to Christ. Yes, are you familiar with the puzzle books that are called Where's Waldo? Does anybody see where Waldo is? And well, look for a moment because it's going to go away pretty quick. You turn the pages of these books of Where's Waldo and you see all kinds of characters. And Waldo is always there, but he's not easily seen, right? I think only one person found him in the early service. So, and they said they thought they found him. Waldo has red and white striped shirt and a bubble hat, and he has big round glasses. Right? All right, your time is up. Take it away. You know, when I thought of our scripture for today, I thought about how Waldo is kind of like Jesus Christ. He's everywhere in the Old Testament, but he's not easily detected. The prophets of old were ever pointing to him, even though they weren't necessarily aware of what they were predicting. Even John the Baptist was prophesied his existence and what he would do in Isaiah and the book of Malachi. You see, for 400 years, there was no word of the Lord. There was no prophet who spoke. And then onto the scene comes John the Baptist, who did have the Holy Spirit in him, who did speak for God. And what a sight he must have made. Dressed in, you might say undressed, in his animal skins and living in the wilderness and eating locusts. Have you ever tried that? Anybody had a locust sandwich? All right. I think if they fried it, it would be okay. Most anything is good fried, right? And of course, he had wild honey, so he had dessert, right? He was tremendously humble, John the Baptist was. You might say he had a reverse resume because he was always talking about who he wasn't. I'm not the Messiah. And always talking about what I'm not doing. I'm not saving people, at least not like Jesus did, right? As odd as it may seem, given his appearance, he really wasn't trying to draw attention to himself. His mission in life was to point to another. And to point to another, he did. The Messiah, Jesus Christ. John was a Nazirite. This kind of person in Israel was one who gave themselves over to a special devotion to God and a special commitment. According to the Nazirite vow, they pledged not to drink any wine and not to trim their beard or cut their hair. So you can imagine what he looked like. I mean, beard, hair, you know. Grizzly Adams, you know, I mean, he just looked like he would have been something to look at. John's humility was such that he said he was unworthy to stoop down and untie the sandals of the Messiah of Jesus, right? Untying the sandals or taking off the sandals of another person was usually given to the lowest servant, the least respected servant. It was a menial task. A task that brought no great honor to someone to do, right? And yet, this is how John viewed himself in his mission in relationship to Jesus. Despite his self-effacing ways, John the Baptist was hugely popular. The historian Josephus affirms that John's Baptist ministry was a tremendous success. People, untold numbers came from all over Judea and probably from other places as well to be baptized by him, to listen to him. What was the attraction? Well, before I give you what his message was, and as a lot of you already know, He was so compelling that he had disciples. And two of his disciples became Jesus' disciples. Anybody know who those are? All right, you failed. Andrew and John. And their great preacher, Apollos, who is mentioned in the book of Acts, was also apparently baptized by John and may have been one of his followers. So what was his message? It was really two things. It was to repent, a call to repentance, and it was an announcement that a Savior had come, a deliverer had come, the Messiah had come. Now, John's ministry took place in the wilderness, and I believe this is symbolic, and I think it applies to us as well. People were spiritually in the wilderness, dissatisfied. A lot of us are dissatisfied with things, wrecked with sin, seeking answers, looking for a deliverer or an answer to whatever befalls us. People were lost in the wilderness. And into the spiritual desert came a mighty and compelling voice of God, John the Baptist. And his message was to repent. See the world and yourself as it really is. Sin has swallowed up this world. Left to ourselves, we're sin disasters. You say, that's not me. Well, hold on, let me ask you this. Do you think on your own capacity that you can become the person that God wants you to be? You think you could do that? Can you defeat sin in your life? Can you drive it out and become holy, absolutely righteous person? I'm asking, can you? No. No. We have to confront the reality of who we are. Just as John was bringing reality to the people of that day. In fact, he was shocking people. You know, the gospel is offensive to our own righteousness and goodness, but it gives us hope on the other side. You need God's forgiveness. They needed God's forgiveness. John was bringing that reality to people. He was proving to them that they needed a Savior. So John Baptist's second message was unmistakable and echoes right down to us. The deliverer has come. The answer has come. It's Jesus Christ. Now, Christ is actually not a name. It's a title. Christ is the Greek for the Hebrew term Messiah, which actually means anointed one, king, right? Anointed with oil. This anointed one was predicted all the way from beginning in Genesis 3, actually, all the way through the Old Testament, right? Becomes clearer and clearer as you get to the end of the Old Testament who this Messiah will be. Our text says, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, according to all the scriptures, this is a different relationship than a father to a son here on earth. There is no inferiority suggested. Rather, it points to the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus is everything that God is in the flesh. Let me repeat that. Jesus is everything God is in the flesh. Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Origen was a third century church father, and he offered this analogy. He told about a village that erected this enormous statue. It was so enormous, people couldn't see it if they got too close to it. They couldn't see it and who it was supposed to represent. Finally, someone miniaturized the statue so one could see the person that it honored. Origen said, this is what God did in his son. In Colossians 1, Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is a self-miniaturization of God, the visible image of an invisible God. In Christ, we have God in a comprehensible way. In Christ, we have God's own personal and definitive visit to this planet. Now, here's the point. We are so messed up. I am, you are. We're so broken, so covered with sin, that it took the Son of God to die for us and save us and give us His grace and forgiveness. We needed a Redeemer, and we needed to be utterly redeemed. Now back to John. This is interesting to me because later on, John has some real doubts about who Jesus was, whether he was the Messiah or not. Now John had boldly confronted Herod about his marital affairs, and so John ended up in prison. And from there in prison, I guess his doubts grew. And he said to his disciples, "Go and ask Jesus, are you the one or should we look for another?" And Jesus said to those disciples, "You go back to John and tell him what you see and what you hear. That the blind see, that the lame walk, that lepers are healed, and that the dead are raised." And then he said, "And blessed is the man who does not fall away because of me." That's pretty tough words to John the Baptist, right? And after they leave, Jesus says this astounding thing that takes some interpretation. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Well, what did he mean by that? You could be greater than John the Baptist? John the Baptist was the most moral, the most righteous man that ever lived. And yet he was a sinner. And his sin was damnable. His sin was like any of our sins, only it was a different kind. Right? What Jesus is saying is, but the least person who stands in the righteousness of myself is greater than John. In other words, we who have received the righteousness and grace of Jesus Christ because of his death on the cross, we have a righteousness that makes us greater than a person who stands on their own goodness. Of course, we believe that John the Baptist believed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ as well. You know, the original 12 disciples were confused often about Jesus and perplexed by him. They too didn't realize the extent of their sin. Just like we often don't recognize our sin, we are always comparing ourselves, just like they did, you know. Well, I don't do this, I don't do that, you know, and compared to others, I'm pretty good. But they too didn't realize that the judgment of sin must fall on Jesus. This is the good news. There's bad news and good news. The bad news is you're not good enough. You deserve hell. The good news is I've come to deliver you. I've come to be your Savior. The forgiveness of sins he offers. Some people don't want it. I'm not that bad. But the forgiveness of sins when received becomes and did become a power, a source of life-changing transformation for the disciples. And it does for us as well. The gift of righteousness, of this forgiveness, of this grace, removes the chains that always are dragging us away from God. You know, Christians make much of Jesus, as we should, because he's the one and only. He's the only one that can really and truly help us. Without him, where does life go? Without faith in Jesus, I guarantee you this is where it goes. it wrecks havoc with our lives. We are swallowed up by various things. We're swallowed up by anger and pride and resentment and greed and envy. We will hurt each other with sexual immorality. We will steal and lie and plot against others and hide these sins compared to others. And sometimes many of these sins are just hidden anyway, right? But I know you're hearing this and you say, well, I haven't done any of those things, which is a lie in itself, right? You just lied if you think that. But even if you didn't do all those things, what didn't you do? What's the thoughts you had about something? Somebody run in front of you with a car and you cried out and you broke the second commandment, you know? We have to confront what Jesus really did for us by first understanding that we really needed him. And we do. We really need him. Because if we let sin go and we don't believe in Jesus, the house of cards falls in someday. It does. But Jesus has come for you, and he's come for me. He takes on himself every sin that we've ever committed. By faith, we know this to be true, and we receive the grace of Jesus Christ. He pays the full tab. You get complete forgiveness. And how dare you not accept it? That means you have to believe it. When Pastor Danny, he gave you absolution, don't walk out of here not believing it. It's our whole salvation that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we could announce the forgiveness of sins and proclaim it and declare it. He gave us that power. Praise God. And forgiveness, once received, helps us fight sin. When we sin, is this your experience? It's mine. When I sin, which I do, right? I'm sad and I repent. And Jesus and the Spirit picks me up again and puts me back in the game of life. Does this go on and on and on? Yes, this is the normal Christian life, right? And yet, we begin to fight sin. We don't want to be sad. We don't want to go back there. But we will sin. And John the Baptist also did another thing that we need to imitate. He pointed people to Jesus Christ. And we should do the same. I'll start with myself. I would be an unfaithful pastor if I didn't make much of Jesus. I would be unfaithful if I didn't preach Jesus, demonstrating from the Scriptures that he is the one and only Savior of the world. I would be unfaithful if I just pointed to my goodness and my, which I don't have, great, unbelievable speaking power. I don't have that. I know that. But there's always the temptation to want to think about yourself and proclaim yourself and not Christ. But I would be an unfaithful pastor if I did that. To say that we believe in God but not Jesus is to say you don't believe in God because they're one and the same. You know, sometimes we may be attracted to world religions and what they have to say. I'll tell you what all world religions are essentially about. They're about advice and laws. And they tell you, all world religions tell you, outside of Christianity, tell you, you got to be good. You got to measure up. You got to strive harder, right, to reach nirvana, heaven, whatever they call it. Christianity is essentially about news. It's an announcement that the Savior you needed has come and that he loves you. You also have that love poured into your life. And you need to, I say need to, you should want to, point people to Jesus. You know, it's good to check ourselves sometimes. Am I pointing people to Jesus or away from him by my words and my actions? Am I pointing people to my own goodness and how great a talented and gifted person I am and how I'm compassionate and all the rest? Or are you pointing to Jesus who works through us? Surely you've heard the catchy phrase that Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, actually, he's the reason for every season. Point to him. Talk to others about how you are a sinner, and yet you believe in the grace of Jesus Christ. That we're normal people, we're no better than anybody else. Christians are no better. In fact, they can be even worse than other people, right? Because we're all in the same struggle. And yet we have the grace of God. I am a sinner, but let me tell you about my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to live for him. And I want to be godly. And I want to fight sin. We should do what John did. We should point to the deliverer, the answer, the person who has come to make us the people that God wants us to be through his grace. So it's not where's Waldo, it's where's Jesus. And I guarantee you he's here right now. And we need to point him out to a world and to loved ones and to people everywhere who really desperately need him, whether they know it or not. In the name of Jesus Christ and to his glory, amen? Amen. Amen. Would you please rise? Now may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus now and always. Amen.